Holy Father, as we enter your presence tonight, we're so thankful to be gathered together here tonight to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are holy, and it's by you, by your Son Jesus, that we are. Lord, understanding and realizing that there's nothing that we can do in the natural to become holy, except through your Son and by your Son Jesus Christ. Father, take us into the places that you'd have for us to understand. The things that you have for us that we haven't been able to grasp because of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. Father, we desire more than anything for your people here tonight to begin to hear your voice and be obedient to your words, Father. That everyone here tonight may have the understanding and the anointing and the power of God. And Father, may you show each and every one here tonight the things that you have had laid up for them for a long time. Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. And we thank you so very much, Lord. Just be with Gary tonight, that he speaks from a spirit with power and authority and anointing by the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. And all the people say, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
By the way, Gerald, I got an email from Nancy, and she said to be sure and tell you how much all of them up in Michigan enjoy your heartfelt prayers. And they were serious, but they just wanted you to know. And she mentioned it specifically. And I've still got it on the machine, so... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For y'all that don't know, the Lord just keeps, you know, the scripture saying, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. And he told me from the outset, if I tried to build this thing, he'd take it away. You know, the ministry I'm talking about. So we're just letting the Lord do what he wants. How many of y'all think it's a good idea to let the Lord do what he wants? I mean, okay, this is a Lord check. Now, who is Lord?
Jesus.
A little stronger. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
He can do what he wants. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, today has been real interesting. I've told y'all before how a lot of times he just waits till the last minute to let me know, you know, what to teach. And today, I've been home all afternoon. I've had lots of time. I've been praying. I was praying early this morning. He was teaching me some new things that I can't even teach yet because my spirit understands it better than my mind. I got to get it better in my mind before I can deliver it. And time just kept passing this afternoon, and I was going, Lord, your people are coming, you know. 2 o'clock came, didn't hear anything from him. 3 o'clock came, didn't know what to teach. 4 o'clock came, my carnal mind is starting to go like this. I'm going, well, let's see now, I have 600 lessons in my computer. Maybe I ought to just pick one, you know. No, I promised the Lord I would never do that. I just, you know, unless he tells me what to do, I'm just not going to do it. We can just sit here and pray and praise the Lord for an hour and a half and go home. I'm just not going to do it, you know. I'm just not going to take this thing over. Either he has his way or else. That's just the way it is. 5 o'clock came, though, and I was really starting to get pretty desperate now. I'm already going, if he told me now, I probably could not get the lesson prepared, you know, on paper and get the duplicates and everything done. And so I started walking up and down out there on the front porch and praying in the Spirit. And I said, Lord, you know, your people are coming. You do know they're coming, you know. You know, and they expect me to say stuff. You do know, you know. And just as plain as I hear, you know, Gerald's voice or anybody else, I heard him say just as plain as anything, he says, relax, I know what I'm doing. Okay. So I just, you know, normally, Jennifer's new here tonight, normally I have a lesson prepared. I have, you know, a lesson page that I hand out, and I have an action page, and we kind of go through those, and it's normally a teaching thing. And I could tell then that's not what's going to happen tonight. Now, I want each one of you to know that since you're here tonight, he said he knew what he was doing. Every one of you that's here tonight, the Lord's really got you on his mind. Because he wouldn't have you here tonight if he didn't. Because this is a hard night. A while ago when Sue was going to take pictures, and she says, I think I'll wait till everybody's happier. I said, no, why don't you go ahead and take the picture now. Now, we started the Bible study in June of 94. And this is now November of 96. How many of y'all have learned a few things in that period of time? Me too. I always say, if nobody came, I'd teach it just the same because I learned too much. How many of you also know it's not in the hearing of the Word of God that a man is blessed, but only those that do the Word is blessed in his deed. You can hear it. You can understand it. You can know it to the point you can teach it. But if you never become a doer of the Word of God, you wasted your time. Now, if you don't really have to turn there. Everyone knows this scripture, but if you've got your Bible, I just want, you know, you can turn there if you want. But it's John 10:10. I don't even know what we're going to call this tonight yet. It's not really going to be very much teaching. Here's the phrase. This is not a game. Let me read you this verse, John 10:10. Jesus speaking, talking about the devil, and he says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life," speaking of us, "and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, right now, full time, for each and every one of you, if you could see into hell, into the council rooms of hell, where they sit and make plans. At this very moment that every one of you is in this room, there are plans being made amongst Satan's principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world for your destruction. They're not planning on hurting you. They're planning on killing you.
Amen.
They're planning on taking you to hell and taking your children to hell. They're planning on destroying everything you have, taking away all your goods, making your life miserable. They'd like to get you to commit suicide if they could, and they are deathly serious about it. It is not a game. They operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And they're counting on you being a Thursday night Christian. See, most of you haven't really got it yet. The things that we teach here, such as spending time worshiping the Lord, spending time praying in the Spirit, spending time meditating the Word, spending time confessing the Word, to most of you, not everybody. I know we have people of all levels. Jennifer, I told you, it's going to be a different night. The Lord really loves you. It's our first time here. Most of you, concerning all of those things that we teach here, you agree with them. I understand that. You wouldn't keep coming. But to you at this point, it's like, okay, I have my life. You know, I got my job. I have my family. I have all these problems. And I kind of have God. You know, I got to work this other stuff in. No, you don't have it yet. All this other stuff that you're thinking right now about working into your busy life, that is your life.
Amen.
And the whole problem is, it's not first. Right now, everything else comes first. And if you can work in some prayer today, you will. And if you can work in some fellowship time with the Lord, you will. Well, with that attitude, sort of a part-time warrior mentality, and yet you've got the councils of hell working full-time, 7 days a week, and these are real beings. They just don't have bodies. And they have 6,000 years experience in destroying human beings, and they're working 24 hours a day plotting your destruction. And yet you're trying to work in 15 minutes a day of confessing the Word. And now you know. And then you wonder, well, gee, Gary, this doesn't seem to be working. No kidding. No kidding. This is not a game. You keep patty caking with the devil, and playing church, and putting everything else first, and then if you have time, oh yeah, God. Just keep up with that. And you'll fall by the wayside like 99% of all the other Christians I know.
Hallelujah.
Let me say that again, like 99% of all the other Christians I know. Amen. And then be going around saying that faith stuff doesn't work.
Amen.
And it'll just strictly be because somebody didn't love you enough to tell you the truth. Now, I told y'all last time that we didn't have service last Thursday, but I told you the Thursday before that, I am not a pastor. You need one.
Amen.
I am a trainer. And more I'm understanding what God's calling me to do here.
Amen.
Now, you need a pastor. This is not your church. If you think it is, you are sadly mistaken. This is really a training center. Training you for warfare, mortal combat, where your life and the life of your family and the life, your life with God depends on it. And you either put this stuff into practice or just prepare for defeat and get by the best you can. This is not a game. In the Bible all the way through, it's going to get better. You're going to like it better. Don't be so... Boy, long faces in here. Hallelujah. Gerald and I was talking about this week. We both have this prophet that ministers to us. And we've told y'all... I mean, I don't know how many times people have told us, and I know I've said this before, and yes, Nancy, it's George. And everyone says, oh, a prophet. I'd love for a prophet to come to my house. That's probably not going to be the most pleasant experience you ever had. The prophet's anointing goes something like this. Thus saith the Lord, do this, this, and this, or die, and I really don't care what you do. It doesn't make me any difference, but I'm just here to tell you, thus saith the Lord. Well, to some extent, I think that prophet's anointing is on me tonight, but God sends prophets. He sends His word like this when there's real danger involved. And I'm telling you, it's being stepped up in the spirit realm. We're coming near and near to the end time. Everyone say thank God for that.
Thank God for that.
But Paul expressly told us that in the last days, the world is going to wax worse and worse. Okay? And gross darkness will cover the people. But he also says, for those that seek the Lord, we will shine brighter and brighter. Okay? That means we don't have to be destroyed. Now, I'm going to tell you plain. You can write this and engrave it on your wall. If you get destroyed, it's your fault. And especially I'm talking to men, heads of households, and especially I'm talking to single women, heads of households. Whatever happens in your house is your fault. Now, I'm sorry. I hated that when I heard it the first time. I did not like that. But that's the truth anyway. Men and heads of households, you are the high priest of your house. Now, under Jesus, don't get me wrong. But as far as He is looking to you to be the priest of your house, you are to set the example. Okay. Let me back up here a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here's what's going to happen tonight, and I'm going to warn you a little bit ahead of time. Now, Betty, don't look so sad. Hallelujah. What He's told me is this. Y'all can keep coming for another year and a half, and He'll keep teaching us things. I like to hear new things from the Lord. Don't you like to hear new things? I like to understand more. I like hearing it. I like getting the messages as much as anybody else. I get excited about my own tapes. I go, I can't wait to listen to it, because it's not me, it's the message. I get excited about the message, you know. But you could keep coming another year and a half and keep hearing them even more. But if you don't ever put it into practice, you're wasting your time. And what's really bad is most people think they're doing some good and they're really not. It's like boiling a frog. You know, if you want to kill a frog, you put him in lukewarm water. And little by little by little, very slowly, you gradually heat up the water. And after a little while, it's boiling. But it happens so gradually that the frog never noticed it, see? And that's kind of what happens with Christians, little by little by little. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the Bible says. Little by little by little, the devil takes you out. And then all of a sudden, you wind up way out there, and you go, how did I get here? Well, little by little by little. All right, now, here's what the Lord told me. Okay, and again, no, I got to tell you this first. We have people of all levels of growth in here. I know that. The Lord knows that. For some of you, what's going to happen in the next hour is going to seem very, very difficult. Some of you might feel offended. Some of you might feel like you want to run. You get a panicky feeling. I need to get away from here. Okay. Now, you need to understand right now, that's going to gauge, however much of that happens in you, that's a gauge of how thick the flesh is in your life. Okay? However much of that is like, I don't like this. I don't want to be doing this. I wish I hadn't come tonight. I need to get out of here. That voice right there, I'm telling you right now, is the flesh. That part of you that needs to be put down The part that Dave teaches all the time needs to be mortified. Basically, that sucker needs killing. You know, that's the part of us that needs to die. It's the part that does not want to serve God, does not want to obey God, and it never will want to. It has to be overcome. Okay? So understanding that ahead of time, however much of that rises up in you, that'll let you know a little bit how thick the flesh is still in your life. See, what's he going to do? Just the stuff we've been teaching. Just the stuff we've been teaching. That's okay, isn't it? I mean, y'all come because you want to be blessed, don't you? Hello?
Yes.
Y'all come because you want to be blessed, don't you?
Yes.
You know you can't be blessed without doing the Word, don't you?
Yes.
So, and I know... We're not going to use anointed sarcasm. Okay. No, I know that many of you have a real hard time with some of this stuff. You know why I know that? Everybody has a real hard time starting out. We all start out flesh creatures, you guys. I mean, the first time I tried to pray in tongues for more than 5 minutes, I mean, it seemed like an hour. Angie, one time, my girls won't lie to me, and I got her one night to promise me before she went to bed that night, was it three scriptures I gave you or two?
Two
scriptures. And I said, promise me you'll confess these two scriptures 15 minutes, just 15 minutes before you go to bed. She called me about an hour later, and she says, oh my God, 15 minutes, that seemed like 2 days. I can't believe you did that for 4 hours a day. Well, it was real hard, and my flesh didn't like it, just like yours didn't like it. Okay? But if you don't ever start doing that kind of thing, you're never going to start overcoming the onslaught of the devil. That prophet that came to me in the beginning of this, George, one of the number one things he told me that God wanted, he wanted this to be a training center where people could come and learn how to stop and overcome the onslaught of the devil. How many of y'all would like to stop the devil's operation in your life, okay? There's no starting like starting, all right? Now, anything that I ask you to do tonight, do it to the best you can, all right? And if you cannot bring yourself to do it, that's okay. I won't make fun of you. I won't point you out, believe it or not. And we're going to go on to something else. Each thing will last 10 to 15 minutes, and that's all. If the pressure of the flesh gets too thick and you have to leave, we love you. It's no problem. Come back next Thursday, okay? We won't throw rocks. We won't go, thou vile sinner. You know, been there, done that. Been there, done that, okay?
Amen.
Yeah, we understand that. It's all right. Or if you can hang on about 10 minutes, we'll switch to something else. Maybe it'll be easier for you to do that. Okay? Now, here's this is all I know to do now. It's just what the Lord told me. First off, and again, I know there's people in here of all levels of growth. Those of you, what we're going to do first is 1 John 1:9. Because there are some people in here who have not talked to God in so long. And they're actually kind of afraid to talk to God because they know they're not right with God in their heart. I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm just saying it's been a long time. And there's been a lot of stuff happen. 1 John 1:9 says, it's what I'm saying is I want all of us to repeat these words with, you know, every time we do something, everybody, even if you're in real good fellowship with the Lord, go ahead and repeat the words with the people so nobody's embarrassed, you know. Okay? See what I'm saying? All right. Let me read 1 John 1:9. Listen, the blood of Jesus was not just for a one-time cleansing, you guys. The blood of Jesus is still available to us, thank God, every day of our lives. And I haven't met any perfect people yet. I only know of one. They hung him on a cross when he was 33 years old. I don't know anybody that doesn't need 1 John 1:9 occasionally. Okay? Now, 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me read it again. Now listen. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. How many of y'all think getting forgiven is good? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now y'all know when you first got born again, you know you were born a new baby. Are babies spotless as far as sin goes? Okay, yeah, right? I mean, you know, newborn babies, they don't have any sin, you know, right? They're innocent. All right, every time you do this, I don't care if you have to do it 490 times a day, 70 times 7, you're just as spotless as you were the first day you ever got born again. See, that's what the whole blood is there for. So, I like to put it this way, and I've heard Dave and other preachers put it this way. When you sin, that's not the time to run from God. That's the time to run to Him. I used to think it was good if I sinned and I really sinned. I mean, really blew it. I thought, I mean, really, really, and you know, I mean, intentionally, I'm going to do worse than that. Intentionally sinned. And then afterwards I felt bad because I intentionally sinned, you know. Well, I used to think that, I mean, I didn't really think it out like this, but really what I was doing was like, okay, in about a week, I need to feel bad. And, you know, maybe in about a week I can repent, you know, and go back to God, you know. And it'd take me 5, 6, 7 days sometimes, you know. I just feel bad. Well, later on I found out what that really is. It's just what in the Catholic Church it's similar to doing penance, you know. Well, I need to flog myself for a week and feel bad, and then I can, you know, then I can go back to God. No. As soon as you realized you sinned, as soon as you did it, you come to yourself. Run right then to God. 1 John 1:9. Don't go a week without getting back in fellowship with God. That's crazy. The blood is there for you all the time. So, repeat after me, and I'm going to do it like this all evening, so that you won't have to worry. I want you to be able to hear what I'm going to say before you say it. You know, so you know I'm not, you know, having you say something that you don't want to say. All right? Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
I confess my sins before you. Lord, your word says, that if I confess my sins,
you are faithful
to forgive me and to cleanse me
from all unrighteousness.
Oh, Father,
thank you for the blood of Jesus.
Forgive me, Father.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
I believe your word.
I believe I'm forgiven.
I believe I'm clean.
Just as clean.
As a newborn baby.
Father, I don't feel any different.
But I don't live by feelings anymore.
I live by your word.
Your word says I'm forgiven.
Your word says I'm clean.
So I am.
Thank you, Lord.
For forgiving me.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you have to do that, 400, you know, Jesus told Peter, when Peter says, how often do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times. And Peter says, I say not unto you 7, but 70 times 7. And if you put the two passages together, I think it means 70 times 7 times a day. Now, God is not going to ask you to be more forgiving than He is.
Hallelujah.
If he's saying it's, you know, if he's saying I want you to forgive up to 490 times a day, do you think he's willing to forgive you that often? Don't nod. They can't see your nods on the tape.
Yes,
hallelujah. Understand that the blood is for you. That's what it's there for. If every hour on the hour, Father, I'm back again. 1 John 1:9. I'm back again, Lord. You know, yeah, I don't care. Every hour, you know, it's like a. You know, or every 30 minutes, like CNN News, you know, headline news, you know, around the world in 30 minutes, you know. I say, well, Lord, I've been out there and sinned again every 30 minutes. I don't care. Until, you know, you, what's your option? Where are you going to go? You got some other God you can run to? You think there is some other God out there? You're going to have to come to Him anyway. Now, wise up. Wise up. Get cleansed. Get forgiven. Quickly.
Amen.
The faster you do that, the thing that they always preach about David, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. And one thing they always say about, I mean, David made lots of mistakes too. But one thing about David, he was quick to repent. Quick to repent. Now, when you're trying to follow God, I mean, God knows that we start off 99.9% flesh creatures in His kingdom. He understands that. He says, He remembers our frame. He knows that we're dust. You know, Jesus has been in a body like ours. He knows the feelings of our infirmities, and He understands that. So, the whole point is, He can't do anything for you, though, if you're out of fellowship with Him. So, He's provided 1 John 1:9. so that every time you get out of fellowship with Him, immediately you can come back. And as long as He knows you're trying, as long as He knows you're striving towards Him, as long as you know that, you know, He knows that you haven't... I'll tell you what He told me one time. I mean, I get so sick of myself. You guys come here, I don't know, you know, if you... I don't know if I'd listen to my own preaching sometimes, the way I act, okay? You know, I get disgusted with myself. And I was going to the Lord one day again with 1 John 1:9 over something, and I said, Lord, you know, it's a good thing you're God. I would have given up on me a long time ago. You know what God told me? He said, son, as long as you don't give up on the blood, I won't give up on you. Now, that's good preaching. You missed a good place to say amen right there. Hallelujah. As long as you don't give up on the blood, He won't give up on you. You stumble 7 times an hour, and you get back up, get cleansed. Boy, He'll be right with you. He'll help you. He'll walk through hell with you while you're learning this. Okay? It's when you start going to the Word of God trying to find excuses to sin, now you've started walking away from God. Okay? But if you're trying and you stumble, you go 1 John 1:9. Right? Quick. I mean, do it just as soon as you can. And if you have to do it every 30 minutes, keep doing it. You have got that point down? Have you got that point down? Now, whether you realize it or not, whether you feel any different or not, makes absolutely no difference. Get it straight once and for all. This life, this Christian life, has nothing to do with your feelings. I like feelings as well as the next guy. Whether I feel forgiven, though, or whether I don't, does not change 1 John 1:9. It says, if I confess my sins, He is faithful to forgive me and cleanse me. When I confess my sins before Him, I am forgiven and cleansed whether I feel any different or not. You got that? That's called faith. That's called believing God's Word. All right? Now, so every one of you, whether you realize it or not, or right now, and I don't think anyone sinned since we confessed that a while ago, everyone here is in perfect fellowship with God. Everyone say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for that. Every one of you say, I'm whiter than snow.
I'm whiter than snow.
There's no record in heaven.
There's no record in heaven.
That I ever sinned.
That I ever sinned.
I like this.
I can ask God for stuff.
And He'll hear me.
Because
I've never sinned.
In
His sight. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Now see, that's good. Just once you do 1 John 1:9, and do some of that. I'm whiter than snow, Jack. Hey, you know. Hey, I can ask God. Me and God, we're buds, you know. Okay? But if you start, okay, and so it's some of you now, before you get home tonight, if you're married, or, you know, before you get home tonight, the devil's going to come try and steal that from you. You're going to have a fight with your wife or your husband, you know, or an argument or something, lose your temper, something or other. And right away, the devil's going to try and take away your righteousness, see, your cleansing. And you go, no, I was at Thursday night Bible study. I know what to do. 1 John 1:9. I'll get right back in fellowship right now. Okay? All right. You got that? Now, okay. Now, our pastor teaches this, and this is good. Premeditated repentance is not recommended. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to go beat the snot out of so-and-so, and right after that, I will use 1 John 1:9. No. Now, I'm not saying God won't take you back, but I'm telling you, we don't recommend that. Premeditated repentance, no, we don't recommend it. You know, I'm going to go out and get slobbering, sloppy drunk tonight, and then I'll repent afterwards. No, you know. You have to repent twice now, first for even thinking that, and then twice if you actually do it, okay? All right, hallelujah. Have y'all got that part? You know how to stay in fellowship with God? Okay, you're going to hear a lot of things that's going to remind you of previous tapes. You remember the phrase, God fights for the righteous? Do y'all remember that from the Armor of God series? Y'all weren't here then. Armor of God. God fights for the righteous, and He only fights for the righteous. Now, do you understand that righteousness for you is a free gift, totally paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not based on what you do, Tina. It's based on what Jesus did. Now, see, every time you do 1 John 1:9, you don't get Tina's righteousness. Thank God for that. You get Jesus' righteousness. Do you think that would make you righteous? Hallelujah. God fights for the righteous, Tina. See, that's what puts you back in that place of, I can believe my God. I can ask God for... Me and God are buds. There's nothing between me and my God. I can ask God for stuff and He'll answer. That's why it's so important. And that's why He told me to do that one first. Now, do you know what to do? Do y'all know what to do? Tell me if you do. About 1 John 1:9. When you, if you sin, if you get out of fellowship, you know what to do. I'm not saying, I'm not asking for a commitment that you'll do it. Except if I asked Angie, she won't lie to me. She'd tell me. All right. Now, the very first thing the Lord ever said when we started this Bible study, when I asked Him, what do you want from these people? What is it that you want? He said, I want them to talk to me. I want to hear their voice daily. I'm going to tell you again. God loves your voice. He's sad when He doesn't hear it. He wants to hear your voice every day. He loves you. He is your Father. He is your Creator. He wants to provide everything for you. Actually, He already has. Okay? But He wants to hear your voice. I loved what Gerald taught tonight, you know, that he taught from Proverbs chapter 3. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And that simply means, just, I love the way Gerald does it when he gets up in the morning. Lord, I'm up. I'm acknowledging You, Lord. I know You're my God, and I'm up, Lord, and I just want to say good morning. Something like that, you know? Okay? Now, we're going to do a little bit of that. You ready? How's your flesh? Everyone paints here. Okay. Now, we're going to do it. See, there is only one God. He has sovereignly chosen to manifest Himself to us in three ways. Everyone say. Say, God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost. The way we approach the Father is in reverse order of that. See, God the Father is in heaven. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father which art in heaven. Okay, Jesus physically in His glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? Now, which member of the Godhead does that leave to be here on earth with us? The Holy Ghost. Now, if you're going to get to God the Father, you're going to go by the Holy Ghost or you're not going to get there. You with me? Now, you need to understand that God the Holy Ghost is as much God as Jesus. Jesus, the Son, is just as much God as God the Father. It's not like God the Father, big God. God Jesus, second God. And God the Holy Ghost, little bitty God. No. It's a triune Godhead. They're all equal. They stand, the picture, you know, in the Greek or the Hebrew, either one, shows the picture of, like if all three of them were standing right here, they would be of equal stature. Nose to nose, eyes to eyes, head to head, shoulder to shoulder. They're all three equal. And they're all three one. Now our minds will all go tilt right there. Because, you know, finite minds trying to understand an infinite God. That's why He chose to reveal Himself to us this way. But if you haven't learned yet, it's okay to talk to the Holy Ghost. It's okay to talk to the Holy Ghost. He's the one here. He's the one with you. All right? Now, I don't know if y'all have ever done this. We're fixing to do it. All right? Again, repeat after me. Say, hello, God.
Hello, God.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
I'm sure glad you're here.
I'm sure glad you're here.
I thank God that you will never leave me.
Jesus said
that when you came,
you came to be with me
forever. You're with me on my good days.
You're with me on my bad days.
You're with me when I'm nice. And you're with me when I'm ugly. I love you, Holy Spirit.
I thank God for you.
You are God. And I love you.
You are Lord to me.
In the same way
that Jesus was Lord to the 12.
You've come to me
to show me
what's in the mind
of my Lord Jesus.
You tell me what He wants done
and what my part is in it.
Oh, I appreciate you, Holy Spirit.
Oh, I'm so glad you're with me.
You're the wisdom of God.
You're the wisdom You tell me what to do.
You tell me what to say.
You tell me how to act.
I love you, Holy Spirit.
Now, Holy Spirit,
you're the one
that takes me into
the presence of
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord,
for taking me to Him.
Now, in your mind, I want you to see
we've approached the throne now
in the spirit realm. You can't get there in the flesh. The only way you can get there is through the Holy Ghost.
Now, in your mind, however you picture it,
we're in heaven now. God the Father's on the throne. I don't know how you would picture that, but I do know that the Bible tells us Jesus, in His glorified body, if you were there, you could touch Him and feel Him. Remember, He ate fish and bread after He was glorified. Okay? You could touch Him. You could touch Him. Now, picture yourself in front of Him. The Holy Spirit's brought you there. He's the only way you can get there. All right? Now, again, Lord Jesus,
I'm here.
I love you, Lord.
I thank you so much
for enduring the cross
and enduring the shame
and enduring the pain
for my salvation.
Without you, Lord,
I'd be going to hell.
There's no other way
for me to get to heaven
except by your blood.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
I've never seen you,
but I love you.
I believe in you, Lord,
or I wouldn't be saying these words.
I love you, Lord.
Jesus, you are my King.
You are my Savior.
You are my husband, the Bible says.
You are my God.
Your name is Emmanuel.
God with us.
Oh, I love you, Jesus.
Jesus, my life belongs to you.
The rest of my days
are at your disposal.
I thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Who tells me
what your plan is
for my life.
Oh, I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
I could stand here all day.
And just tell you how much
I love you.
And I appreciate you.
Lord Jesus,
forgive me
for not talking to you more often.
For treating you
like a fairy tale.
I know you're alive.
Please forgive me.
And help me.
Talk to you more often.
Now, Jesus,
I know it's by you
that I have access to the Father.
You said you were the door of the sheep.
And it's by you
that we enter in.
So now,
take me into the presence of my Father.
All right, now, again, however you picture the throne of God,
and it would help you if you'd read the Bible some.
The Bible gives us, I'm sorry, I mean, really, it helps. It helps.
The Bible helps. You know, it tells you about the throne. It's a majestic thing.
No, you can't really see God the Father, it says. There's a rainbow. And as the Shekinah glory cloud is there. You can't really see through it to see His face, but you know He's there. There's rivers flowing from the base of that throne. There's cherubim and seraphim, angels flying about, shouting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." There's 24 elders with crowns, and they cast their feet at that throne. And, I mean, it's a wonderful, glorious place. And the one on that throne who is the words fail me to describe who He is.
Hallelujah.
Who He is. But I'll tell you this. He loves you.
He longs to hear your voice.
It's for you that everything Jesus did was done.
All of the promises and all of the blessings of the gospel
was because of the great love in this majestic being's heart. He is a faithful creator, and He is your Father, and He loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father.
Father.
My Father.
My Father.
Which art in heaven.
Which art in heaven.
Holy.
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 Holy is your name.
Holy is your name.
Oh, you are my God.
Oh, you are my God.
But more than that.
But more than that.
You're my Father.
You're my Father.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
With all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
With all of my soul.
With all of my soul.
With all of my mind.
With all of my mind.
And with all of my strength.
With all of my strength.
Oh, Father.
Oh, Father.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Father, I pray.
Father, I pray.
That your kingdom come.
That your kingdom come.
And that your will be done.
That your will be done.
On the earth.
On the earth.
Just like it is in heaven.
Just like it is in heaven.
Father, not my will.
Father, not my will.
Your will be done.
Your will be done.
I'm here to serve you, Father.
I'm here to serve you, Father.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
You paid the price for me.
You paid the price for me.
And Lord, I know that your will for me, is only good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, give me every day.
Father, give me every day.
My daily bread.
My daily bread.
Father, you're my source.
Father, you're my source.
You give me everything I need.
There's nothing I could need
that you won't give me. Oh, I love you, Lord.
Oh, I love you, Lord.
Father, forgive me.
Father, forgive me.
For my sins.
For my sins.
My sins against you.
My sins against you.
And I promise.
I promise.
To forgive everybody.
To forgive everybody.
Who sins against me.
Who sins against me.
Lord, I forgive them right now.
Lord, I forgive them right now.
I don't care what they did.
I don't care what they did.
I don't care if they had no right.
I don't care if they had no right.
Father, they don't know what they're doing.
Father, they don't know what they're doing.
Forgive them, Father.
Forgive
them, Father.
The same way
that you've forgiven me. Now, Father.
Lead me not into temptation.
But deliver me from evil.
Deliver me from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the glory.
Thine is the glory.
Forever.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, do y'all do understand that in your heart you're born of that very same Spirit? The part of you that's born again loves God. Say that after me. The part of me, that is born again, loves God.
The part of me,
that's born again,
loves to worship God.
The only part of me that does not,
is the flesh.
It's not born again.
It does not like to worship.
So when I don't want to worship,
I understand.
That's my flesh.
That's the part
I have to overcome.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Glory to God. Sue and I just went on a 2.5-week vacation. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's the first time we've been totally alone and off by ourselves like that in over 10 years. It's good to be alone with the one you love. Now, the part of you that loves God loves to spend time with your Father. See? Now, to help you gauge the thickness in each one of your individual cases, to help gauge the thickness of your flesh, the part of you that's not born again, the less time that you spend in fellowship with coma devils, I understand. The less time that you spend in fellowship with your Father, like that. I mean, you like to spend time with the one you love.
Amen.
Don't you? I mean, can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
What part of you is it that doesn't like to spend time with your Father? It's certainly not the born again part.
Flesh.
It's the flesh. Stinking flesh. Amen. So,
use that as a gauge. Well, I'm, you know, something on the inside, and that something is your spirit saying, you need to worship God. And then right after that, something else says, we don't have time, we got to do this, we got to do that. What are you talking about? Know who that is. Everyone's always saying, I want to hear God, I need to hear God. Well, you just heard the difference. The part of you that's born again, that's in tune with God, says, let's go worship God. Let's go talk to the one we love. Let's go talk to our Father who saved us, who sent His Son for me. And that other part that says, we don't have time for that. That's not important. You can do that later. That's your flesh. You want to start learning the difference? You want to start knowing the voice of God? There's a pretty good gauge right there. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm listening each time because I want to get the sequence. I know what all He wants to do. Okay. Everyone with the program so far? Now, there's a couple of more things He told me to take you all through. Sometimes you just need a little jump start. You know what to do, but just kind of getting started doing it, that's kind of what tonight is. But I don't want you to really, that's really almost too weak. I'm telling you, that verse that Jesus told us about says, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Nobody wants that done in their life, do you? How many likes the devil stealing from you?
No.
Killing. Destroying. We don't like that stuff, right? All right. Well, the Lord has given us precise instructions, things we can do to appropriate His grace that was purchased for us by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll just be a doer of those things, we can get in on all of these blessings. It's called possessing the land. Okay? Now, we're going to jump start a couple of more things, one of them being confession. How many in here has so much money you could not use anymore? No hands are going up. How many of you? Oh, how many of you could use more money? All right, I could use more money. All right. Now we've talked and talked and talked and taught and taught and taught about the tithe is not the seed, the word is the seed. Now again, I believe in tithing, but I'm telling you, you can take a dollar bill or a $10 bill or a $100 bill. Fold it up, take it out in the backyard, plant it, fertilize it, water it, do everything you can, and that thing will never grow into a money tree. There is no life in the dollar bill. There is nothing in it that will cause it to grow. The life comes from the Word. And the Word is not activated until it starts coming out of your mouth. With faith, by the way. With faith. Now, I'm not going to reteach all those lessons. You guys know, you've got those lessons. But tonight, we're going to practice some of that. We're just going to take a couple of verses. And all I want you to do is just, again, follow after me. And we're going to do this. He told me how long on this one. Just 10 minutes. Be even easier than we were on Angie. Just 10 minutes. Now, if somewhere in this 10 minutes you get to going, well, this is stupid. I wish I hadn't come tonight. I could be watching what's on now, Maddox or something. I don't know what's on, you know. Mannix or what? I don't know. Am I out of date? I don't watch a whole lot of TV. All right. What is on nowadays?
Baywatch.
Dear God. Hallelujah. But if you start thinking those kind of things, that's stupid. This is ignorant. This isn't working. All of that kind of stuff, again, that's a good gauge of how tuned in you are to your flesh. Because God loves it when He hears you speak in His Word. He says, my Word will not return unto me void, but it will produce that for which I sent it. Glory to God. He says, I am God and I create the fruit of the lips. Find it for you in a little bit. It's Isaiah somewhere. Isaiah somewhere, but I'll find it for you after the thing. Yeah, just read the whole book. You'll find it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I could pick a lot of things. We could pick healing scriptures. We could pick wisdom scriptures. But I just know how we are. We could all use more money. We're just going to take a few of those, okay? Now, we're going to do for 10 minutes what He had me do for 4 hours a day. I am not telling you to do it 4 hours a day. I am telling you to ask the Lord how long He thinks you should do it. Okay? But I'm telling you this, He's saying, do it. And it's not one of them, I'll work it in if I get time deals either.
If that's your attitude, you're already being killed, stealing, destroyed from. I'm telling you right now. This stuff comes first. Everything else comes second. Simple. I don't repeat this one, but that's, I mean, you say, well, can you prove that? How about Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things, all that stuff you're putting first, will be added to you. No, this stuff comes first. Brandon, the most important thing in your life is your confession. You'll never rise above it. The amount of God's Word coming out of your mouth determines the course of your prosperity. End of story. Clear enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Same thing for everybody else. I pick on Brandon because he's real nice. Hallelujah. Everyone, just repeat after me. I'm not going to say anything that's not Scripture or based on Scripture. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I, through His poverty, might be rich. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I, through His poverty, might be rich. I do know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich in heaven. He didn't have to do it. He already had it made. He didn't have to do it. But He did it for me. And only for me. Not for His sake. For my sake. Though He was rich, He became poor. For my sake. That I, through His poverty, I said through His poverty, might be rich. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, for my sake. I said, for my sake. For my sake. He became poor. That I, through His poverty, might be rich. He did it for the express purpose. I'd never have lack. I don't have to be poor. He came to preach good news to the poor. I don't have to be poor anymore. Jesus doesn't believe in poverty. Poverty is the gospel of the devil and religion. Jesus is rich. My Father is rich. He expects me to be. I'm supposed to imitate my Father. My Father chooses to live on streets of gold. In houses made of jasper walls, with diamond doorknobs, with gates made out of a single pearl. He doesn't like poverty. He sent Jesus to get rid of it. And He doesn't want me to live in it. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I, through His poverty, might be rich. I say I'm rich. He didn't do it for nothing. It won't be in vain in my life. Jesus, You didn't suffer that poverty to no purpose. As far as I'm concerned, I'm drawing on it. I'm rich. I say I'm rich. Jesus died a poor man so that I could live a rich man. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I, through His poverty, might be rich. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord
shall not lack any good thing.
The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord
shall not lack any good thing.
Young lions are strong.
They're in the prime of life.
They're the king of beasts.
Yet in their own strength,
they sometimes go hungry.
But as long as I seek the Lord,
I said, as long as I seek the Lord,
as long as I talk to Him
and hear Him
and obey Him
and follow Him
and trust Him,
I'll never lack
for anything.
I have everything I need.
I always will.
For my God is faithful.
He has exalted His word
above His name.
It doesn't matter what my wallet says.
It doesn't matter what my checkbook says.
It doesn't matter what my employer says.
It doesn't matter what Dan Rather says.
It doesn't matter what Ross Perot says.
The only thing that matters
is what my God says.
I say what He says.
The young lions do hunger
and suffer lack.
But those that seek the Lord
shall not lack any good thing.
Father, do you see me?
I'm seeking you, Lord.
Through your word.
I'm sowing it into my heart.
I'm saying it with my mouth.
I'm never going to lack, am I, Father?
You cannot lie.
It's true.
Your word is truth.
I'm a rich man.
I'm a rich woman.
I have everything.
There's no such thing as lack in my life.
Oh, the devil says there is.
Circumstances say there is.
But my God,
who cannot lie,
He says,
and I say,
that as long as I seek the Lord,
I shall not lack
any good thing.
I have everything.
And they're all good things.
I have good stuff.
You know why?
Because my God
shall supply
all of my need
according to His riches and glory
by Christ Jesus.
I said, my God
shall supply all my need
according to His riches and glory
by Christ Jesus.
My God shall supply
everything I need.
I said, everything I need.
He has plenty.
There's no shortage in heaven.
My God's got lots of blessings.
He wants me to get some of them.
He supplies all my need
according to His riches.
He has good stuff.
His riches isn't junk.
He doesn't send me no rummage.
He sends me good stuff.
It's according to His riches and glory.
And He does it by
the anointing.
Christ,
the anointed one.
My Lord Jesus.
Oh, there's nothing
that I could possibly need
that my Father will not give me
according to His riches and glory
by Christ Jesus.
My God shall supply
all of my need
according to His riches and glory
by Christ Jesus.
Oh, I worship You, Father, for Your word.
Your word that cannot lie.
Your word that is eternal.
Heaven and earth will pass away.
But Your word will not.
It remains forever.
Your word is truth.
Your word is truth. I believe your word.
I believe your word.
I don't believe these circumstances. They can be changed. But your word cannot. I'm on your word. I'm standing on your word. I'm sowing your word into my heart. I believe it. And I say it. And I say it.
And I say it.
And I can have what I say.
Jesus said
that when I say with my mouth and believe with my heart, what I say shall come to pass. I believe in my heart. My head gives me trouble. But I believe in my heart that my God cannot lie. I say what He says. All the time. To everybody, anybody, without shame, because my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. By Christ Jesus, I may be the richest person on earth for all I know. Who knows what all my God would supply if I do this like Gary taught. Hallelujah. It's about 10 minutes. It's real close. About 10 minutes. It's about 10 minutes. Hallelujah. 4 hours a day. I was raised with such a poverty doctrine. God wants you humble and God wants you poor, you know, and all of that junk. It's absolute junk. You can't find that in the Bible. But I was raised with, I wanted to believe this. I was trying to believe this. I had it down to the point I could teach it, but I could not walk in it myself. Ask Sue, she'll tell you. I mean, I knew God loved me. I knew I was forgiven. I knew I was born again. I'm a tongue talker. You want to hear me? I mean, I could do all this stuff. I could teach this stuff, but I could not get prosperity manifested in our life. God says, I got a program for you, boy. You need some training, son. Your heart's going to have to be reprogrammed. You're trying to do it in the head, son. It won't work that way. I kept telling you, it won't work. He said, faith doesn't come out of the head, boy. Walk the floor and speak my word 4 hours a day. And I said, you've got to be kidding. You must be joking, Lord. And, oh, it was hard to do. And I'm telling you, the flesh resists this. The flesh wants you to tell it like it is. It wants you to believe what you see. Believe what you hear. Believe the circumstances around you. You will never, ever rise above your confession. Never. You might as well understand that. You'll never rise above it. What you believe in your heart and what you say with your mouth, okay, I wasn't going to be that mean. What you have right now is a result of what you have believed and said up to this point.
Ow.
That's it. If your confession has been in line with your circumstances your whole life, and you just say what you have, you're not doing anything to change what you have. And what you have right now is the end product result of what you have been believing and saying up to this point. You might as well get it straight. This is not a principle that works part-time. This is a law of the Spirit, and it works all the time. All the time. You can't change it. People say, well, I don't believe that works. And they just worked it. They just worked it right there. And as long as they keep saying that, they'll continue to work it the wrong way. I mean, they just worked it. This is a law of the Spirit. You can't change it. It's like trying to change gravity. You can't. You can't. You can't change this either. And as hard as that may be, now, now take the flip side of that. Where could you be 6 months from now if you changed your confession? Now, at first, understand, when you first start, it seems so phony because all of your circumstances are probably against, let me say, opposite to what you're saying. Jesus said when you start this process, He said the kingdom of God, it's like sowing the word, and it's like the tiniest seed in the garden, and that's the way it'll seem. You've got mountains of problems, and you start confessing the word. You know, you got bill collectors screaming in your ears, we're taking your car. We're kicking you out of your house. Your family's going to starve. I mean, you know, you've got all of these massive voices, and here you, and here's the way it seems when you start. My God, shall supply all my need according to His riches. It's like the tiniest seed in the garden, because shouting real loud are all these circumstances. You're going under. God has forsaken you. Where is your God now? You know, all kinds of stuff. Plus, He always reminds you of everything you've done wrong in the last 6 months. You know you should have been doing this. You shouldn't have been doing that. And Now, right then is when you do the first thing we did tonight. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Because if you do 1 John 1:9, when he starts all that yammering, you go, I ain't saying nothing but this. And this says, okay, you've heard that deal about I plead the blood. Okay, now picture yourself like in a court of law. Okay, God's the judge. And the accuser of the brethren comes in and says, no, you don't get no blessings. No, you know how ugly you've been. No, you know what you said. You didn't do this, and you did do that, and And all you do, you don't even defend yourself. All you do is just pick this up and say, I'm innocent. I plead the blood. I went to 1 John 1:9 earlier, and I'm clean. There's no case against me. I'm innocent. You're not either. You know how you acted. No, I plead the blood. I'm innocent. I have every right to every blessing of God. I'm just as righteous. Now, hang on now. Don't run out, you religious people. I'm just as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, whose righteousness do you think you have? Your own?
Amen.
Huh? You think you've got your own? You want to go up there with your own righteousness, Anna?
Nope.
No, me either. Good way to get lightning bolted out of heaven. No. You're going with His righteousness. Understand that. Do you think Jesus has a right to every blessing of God? So do you if you go with His righteousness. Your head goes, nah. It's true. It's His righteousness or you don't have any.
Amen.
Isn't that good stuff? It's His righteousness or you don't have any. Your righteousness, God says, is filthy rags. And you know what kind? Because they're not good. So if you're going with His righteousness, remember earlier I said God fights for the righteous? Well, just how righteous are you? Whose righteousness are you going there with? Is there any blessing that you don't, quote, deserve? Quiet in here. Isn't that something? Think about that. Now, not thinking about that, not meditating on that kind of thing, is why we're all living so far below where God wants us to be. God wants us to once and for all get it straight, get our faith up past the getting my needs met level, where we can start becoming a blessing to other people. He wants to get us all to the point where the last thing on our mind is getting our rent paid, but how are we going to ship the next boat load of food to Zaire and pay for it ourselves because of His blessing on our lives? Wouldn't that be nice? That's the kind of things God wants you thinking about. How am I going to finance and buy this next jet airliner for Pat Robertson, the second one that they need to send flying hospitals around the world? I think I'll just buy that next one myself, God. Let's talk about that. Instead of going to Him, oh God, how am I going to pay the rent? Come on. And I know it's hard when you're there. I've been there. I'm telling you the way out. This is it. There isn't any other way either. Get it straight. Again, I want to remind you, in the councils of hell, they are working 24 hours a day plotting your destruction. Plotting it. And they've got 6,000 years experience on you with mankind. They're good at what they do. You know, I'm not going to... Who can imitate Pastor Dave? Talk about the... I'll try. The devil. He doesn't do anything else. He isn't good at anything else. All he does is steal, kill, and destroy. And if you misjudge him and you patty cake around with him, he'll kill you. That's what he does. He doesn't do anything else. And he's not doing it part-time like you are. It's full-time. It's full-time. This stuff comes first. That's why I keep telling y'all, please plan your time. If you don't, you're never going to, quote, find time. Or it will be real seldom. Find time to do this. And you've got life upside down. Remember the last one? That kind of thinking is sick! From the sole of the foot to the top of the head, it's sick! Stop it! Get this kind of thinking going. Your prayer time comes first. Your confession time comes first. What I mean is priority-wise. Whatever you had planned today, if, let's say, one of them was to wash the car, I mean, forget the car if you haven't got this stuff done. Get this done. Now, you've got to feed your kid. And don't, I'd better not hear about you guys staying home from work because you had to stay home and pray. Now, not unless God tells you. We'll cast that flaky devil out of you. You know? You understand what I'm saying. No priority. Get it straight. What's important? Do you want God to help you or not? This is the way He works. He doesn't work any other way. Hallelujah. Thank good. Thank God for... I pay him to do that. No, I don't. Actually, God pays him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, we're going to do five... Now, just 5 minutes. And I haven't met you, and I don't know. Is this okay? Are you all right?
Fine.
Help her, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to do one more thing. About five... Okay, just 5 minutes. I want to do just 5 minutes. Yeah. Praying in other tongues. I think, I don't know about Jennifer, and if you don't, it's okay. We'll teach about it. We have tapes on this. Okay. But if you have ever prayed in the Spirit, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Okay? So, when you're praying in an unknown tongue, you're speaking to God. That's the period of time where your spirit comes in, just like in a classroom, sits down in a chair and says, I don't know stuff, teach me stuff, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins doing that. You don't understand what He's saying to you in your head. He is Spirit. The reborn part of you is Spirit. He is transferring His knowledge from Him to you. Do y'all think you could use some of His knowledge? Once your spirit understands it, your spirit begins revealing it to your mind. Okay? Now, jump start time. 5 minutes. Let me get my I'll be nice. And if you have ever prayed in the Spirit, I'm telling you right now, you can. Nobody that I know of has sinned since we did 1 John 1:9 earlier. At least I didn't catch you. Okay. You know, so you're clean. There's no reason why you can't pray in the Holy Ghost, except maybe your flesh doesn't like it. Now, I want you all to get it straight once and for all. Lord, check again. Who is Lord?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Now, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you guys believe?
Yes.
Are we believers?
Yes.
What, first one, they shall cast out devils. Secondly, they shall, say shall.
Yeah.
Speak with new tongues.
Speak with new tongues.
Now that's Jesus, the head of the church, the Lord God Almighty. Do you understand me? And now He is not mincing words. One more time. Jesus said,
believers
would speak with new tongues.
I are a believer.
I speak with new tongues. I'm going to
do it right now
for 5 minutes. Flesh, shut up. Here we go. In Jesus' name. Now just do it. Blake beyond order, brown dusty man, Christos, book beyond order, it's all right.
I know. You'll learn later. Isn't she sweet? Vedo la sondera Christus mancare brastus. Ora la sindera abbiandotoro sindela Christus mandare frandus da banco beatsteco. Ceda la sindere beatstus mancoro brandustai. Fendela abbiandustas mancoro brandistes mancaro. Bende disti chi andara la carato renderos andara la brastes. Fangara la sora mandoste branchistus becchi di andara la coro. Bora lo sinde la briandusta da brandusta, cae andoroto da briandusta. Fandida la briandustus moncure brandusta mandaro. Cara la sinde da caria sotoro brandusti mandoro. Ora la chiria da 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 ori isti da da dea frosti bica asu uro da da. Minche de lasso more brandusta. Fonde da la cundoro si andotoro brandusta. Conde da la singera custa andala brianduro. Bonde dalla sindera caia sondela abbiandoro lo cuore. Conde dalla biandosta da brandoste caiandore. Bendire diste chi andore brandoste mancaro. Cora la sondera brandoste mancura diste. Cora la sanda di bianduro lo condera si andoro la briandota. Co mamma scitero frombo bubbe besticchi astoro. Chi dalla brandiste smancuro brandoste smancara la biandoto. Candata la biandoste da brandoste smanda de biandate. Condida da bandore brandastida la prava babusti brosta mancaro. Cera ristos. Condura lo brandustis mancaro brandoste man. Hondera la findera Christos vocuro brandoste. Fondida la caro brandoste smancato. Candita la biandoto da brandoste smancoro. Chiede di stimi anduro lo brandusta manca, oro lo sindera brastus francure brandusta, banchi de riste cai andutoro brandusta, pronduro lo cure brandusta manca la brastus, fete di bianduto brandustis manca la brandustis mancuro, chiede di biandatera bianduto, chiede la sondero bianduste mancaro brandustis minca bianduto. Candida la sandre biandotra briandastus. Conditera biandotra mancaro brandustes buco boiato mandestus. Cora la sandre biandotra brandustes mancare. Ite di biandotro brandustes mancaro brandustes baiacchistus ende la biato. Ora lo sindai. Fletoro biandoto. Vira la bande. Moste bristos blenchi fratus adara buca. Andiri di biastoba. Hetarara da custi loro, loro sindere briasti, fraindo boco beandustai mandustus, fornitere bianduturo brandustai mancatolo sindere biatu, blete bianduztai, breki bianduro, mande bianduztai, freco biandero, minderi bistu, canderi creastus, mungoro, lolo, sindera frastus, mungara labraro, Bero, mande li biato, brestai fronco, bitstes munga, baiandoste, hatara. Ho, sandoro, miste la brandoste, chi andoste? Condara la sondere biastus, kendere di biastus, tera la cundo, andara la biastus, sara la chide, andera la brandoste, smancura la brastus, candida la brandoste, smancuro. Candida la biand, sera, monde, stico, andara fra, shikara, assisi, catoro, usse, bondoto, bandestai, fondoro lo brastus, moncoro lo brandeste, beco biandustai, mancoro brandustai, andera la cundera biandustai, mancara la biandoto, candida di friandoto, robriandustes, mancata la biandoto, robriandustes, mandata la biandustai, brandustes, moncara la brandustai, Fandida la briandustes mancutoro briandutera brandustes. Candida la sondera criandutolo brandustes moncara la brandustes. Chite di bianduro e brandustai mancataro biandustai. Freto bianduto biandutera biandustai mancataro biandutero briandustai. Candida la sindera criandutolo brandustes mungo boiandutero briandustai. Fandite di bianduztai mancuro brandustai bara frito. Candida la curro brandostes mancoro. Candida la sindera caria sondolo briastoca. candida la sonda de biats dura la cunda rabiats tu steke and utro briando stai fonde de la sonda rabiats tu steke and utro brandiste smaccaro fonde de la biando robaste. Hallelujah. Okay, that's been 5 minutes. Now say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that much of the mysteries of God to my spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying that much the perfect will of God for my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're always willing to pray. And you're always ready to pray. Whenever I want to. For as long as I want to. Thank you for this wonderful gift. Hallelujah. Now, I got tickled in there. Because you know what the Holy Ghost said? I'm looking at Gerald, because it's not him. But the Holy Ghost said, that's the most I've heard some of these people pray in a month. And I got tickled. That right there, he said, was the most he's heard some pray in a month. And he didn't tell me who. Now, hallelujah. Your mind goes, well, why did you get out of that? Well, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, my understanding is unfruitful. Right then what's happening, your spirit is in contact with the Holy Spirit. And He is revealing everything to you that you right now don't understand. You give Him enough time, He'll educate your spirit. And once your spirit gets it, it starts going, hey, up there, mind, yo! And it starts bringing revelation knowledge up to the top. And stuff that you've heard me say for a year, you've heard other preachers say for a year, suddenly it goes, it'll get through to you. Even you'll get it. That's the way I get, you know, when he finally gets one across to me, I go, God, I bet he thought I was never going to get that. You know? Hallelujah. Now, 5 minutes. I don't know. To some of you, that may have not seemed very long. To others, it may have seemed like eternity plus one day. I don't know. Okay? If you're not up to 1 hour a day, you're patty caking. You're patty caking. You need to understand that. I'm not saying... Now, don't run out of here saying, oh, Gary says, No. Work up, make that your target. If you're not praying an hour a day, at least make that your goal. And I mean a goal like you'd set any other kind of goal. Start off tomorrow. You're going to start with 15 minutes and decide when you're going to do it. And then that 15 minutes belongs to the Holy Ghost for you to pray in other tongues. And don't let nothing else get in the place of that 15 minutes. Do that for a week or so till you can handle that. Step it up to 30. Step it up to 45. Step it up to an hour.
Tell them why you picked an hour.
There's a lot of reasons why I picked an hour. Jesus, to be honest with you, Jesus said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour?
That's when he knew that the soldiers backed by Satan, he knew Judas had betrayed him already. He knew that they were coming to take him to the cross.
The most serious point of his life.
The last night on earth, and his disciples were all around him, and he said, watch and pray. He said, could you not tarry 1 hour? He said, the spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Amen. The part of you that does not like to do that is that flesh again. It's not the part of you that's born again. I want to say it again. Y'all have heard me say it before. Your flesh right now, sorry, you need to know, it's not saved. Sorry. Guess what? It's not going to be saved next week either. And it's not going to be saved until the sound of the trump at the second coming, at the rapture of the church. Now then, we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will receive glorified bodies, thank God, that does not even want to sin anymore. Pat, I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? But from now until then, you are saved. The spirit you, the part of you in the image of God, is born again. Your mind is being renewed. That's part of what we're doing here tonight, training your mind. That part can be renewed. Your flesh is lost as a goose. It'll be lost next time I see you.
It's going to want to sin the day before Jesus comes back. Do you understand me? It's not going to get saved, get it straight. You have to overcome it. It's never going to want to worship. It's never going to want to pray in tongues. It's never going to want to spend an hour confessing the Word. It's never going to want to give your money away. It's never going to want to do any of these things. It has to be overcome. It has to be. And that's done by the Spirit of the Lord. As you do these things that we've practiced tonight, the Spirit of the Lord transforms you into the very image of Christ. And in the same way that He was able to walk victoriously in this earth with a flesh body, so can we. The Bible says we should walk as He walked. Yowza! Hallelujah. We've got to do one other thing, and I almost forgot. Here's another thing you need to start practicing. The Lord is not kidding about prayer. Now, that's the kind of prayer we just prayed for your own benefit. That's called the prayer of edification. Just one of the four diversities of tongues, which we don't have time to teach on the others tonight. God's interested in you guys getting built up out of the pit you're in. Whatever it is. Some of you it's financial. Some of you it's might be physical. Some of you it might be marital. Some of it might be trying to get your ministry off the ground. I don't know what it is. But wherever you're at, God's wanting to exalt you. The number one thing you can do is, well, these things tonight, praying in other tongues, confessing the Word, make sure your heart's clean before the Lord, you know, 1 John 1:9, forgiving people. These are all the things that's going to get you. They're number one. They're more important than what you're going to do tomorrow on your job. That's not going to change your life. This stuff will change your life. God will exalt you in due season.